Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Thank you very much for that, Mr. Christopher Fritchie and the gentlemen of the band, and you sound remarkable. So if ever Christopher doesn't want to sing on a Sunday, we know what we can do. Last week, we started talking about the season for nonviolence, and this month's recommended book, Gandhi the Man by Eknath Iswaran, has been a tremendous source of information and pictures and an understanding about this transformation that took place in Mahatma Gandhi. That word, transformation, it's a powerful word. You know, transformation means radical change, not just simple change, radical change. Think about that. What radically changes a person? What radically changes you? You know, maybe you do know this, that the mission of our larger movement, Centers for Spiritual Living, is to provide spiritual tools for personal and global transformation. Wow. So our mission as a movement is radical change. For you. For me. For the world. For everything. What transforms us? And why do we need to be radically changed? I mean, the whole idea suggests that there is something radically wrong with us. Now look, I don't mean to suggest that there isn't anything wrong, because you and I both know we've got some issues. And we can't ignore them. We can't not pay attention to the situations and the habits and the troublesome events of life, because if we ignore them, it could lead to denial, and that is a very painful way to walk through life. On the other hand, trouble can be one of the things that transforms us. It's not the only way to grow and change. Still, it can be the case that when something goes wrong, in my life at least, it can be the thing that causes me to radically change my thinking, my habits, my direction. That's if I don't let the trouble drag me down and paralyze me. Because sometimes I can do that. Sometimes I can focus on what is wrong in an unhelpful way. You know, thinking that I'm never going to be able to get ahead. I'm never going to be able to achieve my goals. I'm never going to be able to feel better until what is wrong is removed, fixed. As I'm reading more about Mahatma Gandhi, I thought of maybe a better word for our exploration today: transcend. You see, because transcend means to pass beyond, to be greater than whatever is going on. Oh, I want that for me. I want that for you. I want that for the world. Now, in the story of this man, Gandhi, that the world called Mahatma, the Great One, I learned that in his own opinion, he didn't have the ingredients to be a superhero. He was really concerned about his shortcomings. Shortcomings that he eventually had to move beyond if he was going to bring something to the world. What a relief. Your shortcomings are your shortcomings. Yet, despite them, despite everything that is wrong with you and with me, the world needs all the good that we can do. That's what transcend means, to go beyond what is. And that's how radical change happens. And it's what our teaching, The Science of Mind, is about. It's about releasing whatever locked up potential is in you and in me. And one of the ways we do that is to keep on moving, move beyond whatever blemishes we perceive, whatever blocks we've inherited. We keep on moving strongly regardless of our history by thriving and being greater than all that is and all that went before. And I think that's why in our teaching you'll find this gentle but persistent reminder that you are more than the conditions and situations and heritage and tragedies and tribes. There's more to you than all of that. Of course, our problems and our histories, they do count strongly in our lives. They shape us, you know. They impact us. They propel us. We couldn't be lifted up by them, and we can also be damaged by them. But, and there is something in us that is beyond the reach of all of that. And that's something we call spirit, and other people call it by other names, and whatever it is called, it is that changeless, timeless, constant, permanent, creative genius mind that we are all part of. I think that's what Gandhi discovered. That despite his shortcomings, there was something in him that is so great that it was worth serving with humility and dedication. Something so beyond the limits of his humanness that he could tap upon it and draw a life of meaning from it without having to be a superhero first. The author of this book said that he thought historians of the future would look back at the 20th century and instead of calling it the atomic age, they would call it the age of Gandhi. Certainly Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. drew upon him as an example of social activism that would bring about one of the most profound and lasting changes in social awareness in our United States. And Einstein said that he believed that Gandhi's views were the most enlightened of all the political people of the time. And yet, by Gandhi's own account of himself, he thought he didn't add up to much. Nothing notable. Certainly not as a child. In fact, he was very, very painfully shy and sort of vaguely aware of anything beyond his village. As a student, he was less than average. He was self-conscious. He was afraid of the dark. What a relief to learn that. I mean, can you feel an opening to start accepting yourself just as you are? An invitation to stop waiting to be purified by whatever it is. Stop having unrealistic standards of spiritual perfection. Start embracing yourself as a perfectly flawed channel for spirit. Here's what he said, some of the things he said about himself. The fact that I can remember nothing more of my school days than having learned in the company of other boys to call our teachers all kinds of names strongly suggests that my intellect must have been sluggish. I used to be very shy and avoided all company. I ran back home from school because I could not bear to talk to anyone. He was afraid that people would poke fun at him. Moreover, I was a coward. I used to be haunted by the fear of thieves, ghosts, and snakes. I did not dare stir out of doors at night. The darkness was a terror to me. I could not therefore bear to sleep without a light on in the room. Not exactly the profile of a superhero, but again, very comforting for me. Oh my goodness. Maybe for you too. Maybe you suffer from the same kind of frailties or similar ones. Maybe the kind of difficulties that we've all got. And even with all of this weakness, wherever he went in the world, he changed lives. He changed situations. And one of the greatest tools of his trade was the way he looked at people. And I don't just mean physically with his eyes. He saw people not just as they appeared to be in physical form, not just how they voted and how they believed and how they acted, but he also viewed them as if that great something he discovered in himself was alive in them, despite outward appearances. And this spiritual looking made it possible for him to see through, to see beyond the outer form to something hopeful and great in all people. And that's a clue to transcendence. Not only must I move beyond my problems, I must also see beyond them. Not deny them, see through them. That's what our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, taught us. To see through to the truth. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that genius always finds itself a century too late, too early. Genius always finds itself a century too early. And thinking of our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, I think that is exactly the case. He, like Gandhi, brought something beautiful to life in the 20th century. Something that is ours to live in this century. A way of life, an attitude, a teaching that can awaken humanity to its spiritual magnificence. That's what our movement's purpose is. To awaken humanity to its spiritual magnificence. And I've been thinking about that. Now it's our turn. No matter what our shortcomings are, we can't any longer hide what we know, because you and I, I'm guessing, know that our teaching of oneness and loving kindness and inclusivity is the answer for so many of our world's problems. Now it's our turn. It's our turn to share what we've learned about our relationship to that great something that lives within, and to share it as a salve for hearts that yearn for an awakening, to make it available wherever people are yearning for a greater yet to be. I think that you are the visionaries that Dr. Ernest Holmes was talking about 60 years ago when he said, "Find me a person who is no longer afraid of the universe or of God or of humankind or of anything else." It's our mission to provide spiritual tools to teach people to think like that fearlessly, and to choose wisely, and to love strongly, and in that way to transcend whatever it is that is currently going on and walk toward the kind of personal and global transformation that Mahatma Gandhi dedicated his life to. We are centers for spiritual living. And we hold within us the blueprint for what may come. We are the visionaries for the kind of world that isn't quite yet a reality for so many people. And by that, I mean a world that works for everyone. Oh, I don't have a slide for that. There it is. And as you know, on a social level, there is clearly much opportunity to demonstrate a better world, one that our hearts and our minds know is possible. Leo Tolstoy said that truth, like gold, is to be obtained not by its growth, but by washing away from it all that is not gold. And our teaching, The Science of Mind, gives us some bold and riveting directions for this journey to that gold. Surely we must, like Gandhi, stand for equal rights for all. Surely we must pursue an end to hunger and suffering. Surely we must say yes to God's diversity. Surely we must above all say yes to the divine mind, the creative genius in which we live and move and have our being, and then use it in such a way that shows that we are standing on the shoulders of giants, answering the call to co-creation in this life for today and for those who come after us in the next century. And there is not only one way for us to rise to the awareness of our spiritual magnificence. For every person hearing these words, I know that there is in you a legitimate and powerful way to shine right from where you are for the benefit of some greater good that we can't yet even imagine. Your life, your choices, your getting up every time you fall matters. It matters. It makes a difference. It's what is transforming our world. Your greatness comes not from how you compare to others. It comes from the fact that you live and from what lives inside of you. Gandhi made it a habit to regularly check his thinking, to regularly investigate his perception, and to regularly review his actions. And perhaps that's why he said, "My life is my message." Perhaps that's why he could say with such confidence, "You have to be the change you wish to see in the world." So wherever it is you are now in your life, and whatever it is you've got going on in your life, I am certain you have not exhausted all of the possibilities for your expression. I'm sure. I'm certain that you are far more powerful than you may have thought. And history is on my side in this opinion. Filled up with examples of people just like you and me with tremendous ordinariness, tremendous challenges, tremendous haunting fears, and who nevertheless take what they have and keep moving through it and then past it, to keep on living and loving and thriving and being. Today I bring to you a prayer from another one of my mentors, Dr. Maxine Kay. And yes, I learned my lesson. I did print them out for you. I have got them. So I invite you to take a moment with me to breathe in as you exhale, to let your eyes close and to let these words from Dr. Maxine run through your awareness as if they were being spoken silently in your own mind. The divine presence is wholly alive and present here. It moves with grace and wisdom throughout all of creation. And each incarnation of this life is a spiritual human being filled from its source and capable of moving forward in the spiritual evolution of all humanity. I am such a center of aliveness, goodness, clarity, peace, and power, rising in consciousness to be and to become a radiant instrument of Spirit's intention. And to bring healthy transformation into my life, my neighborhood, and the world. Remaining exquisitely clear about my divine origins and the power for good that is greater than I am, yet ready and willing to co-create through my very being, I remain deeply established in integrity. I surrender any sense of confusion or loss to this perfect power. I stand willingly tall in principle, deepening my faith and joyfully accepting my role in the establishment of heaven on earth. I choose wisely and compassionately that which is for my highest good and the greatest expression of life for a healthy and thriving world. It is Spirit that guides me. And through this prayer, I commit to allowing this presence to move me gracefully into the solution to every challenge that arises before me. I shift also from any past concern about the love of power in our country or in the world, and I am completely aligned with the power of love. Active within our community and beyond. I am established in such a sweet gratitude as I trust in the greatness and the goodness now emerging in each sentient being. I willingly allow the old to yield to the new, and I release this word of power to the dependable, reliable, intelligent, and effective law of mind. And from deep within me there arises, and so it is. I invite you to take a deep breath in with me, followed by a sigh. As we use that breath to make a transition from our spiritual practice to our offering. So I have some news for you. We were going to announce today that we were going to renovate our bookstore, you know, redesign, renovate, renew. And you know how wonderfully the universe works. So the pipes from the snack bar under the bookstore into the facilities office crumbling, kaput. So we have to now close our bookstore. And so our host will give you some of the details because we're working it all out. This was an unexpected expense for us. Our beautiful Center for Spiritual Living, well, she is advanced in years. And it is not unreasonable for unexpected expenses like this to go up. Have you ever replaced pipes under a tilt-up concrete building? $20,000, yeah, that we weren't planning to spend. But we are homeowners, and that's what you do, rise to the occasion. And you know that in our offering, we don't nickel and dime and prompt you to give more money or anything like that. However, we do come to you with information that is relevant to the sustaining of our building. So if you feel like giving some more money towards those pipes, you won't have anything but gratitude from me. So I invite the ushers to stand while you prepare your gift, perhaps taking your gift in your hand, or if you gave electronically, placing your hand on your chest as a symbol of your heart connection to your center and your giving, and say after me, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.